A few years ago with Steve and Kendra Hahn, Brad Kish, and Deanne Gingrich. And we've been supporting them for about 3 years now, a little more. And we're glad that God has given us partnerships. That's one of the driving forces behind our whole missions emphasis. And Janine said it well. Sometimes in the denomination, they say things like, you know, what is it, Gavin? You can maybe say it better than me. What is it? Missionary is what we do. Evangelical is who we are. Or they reverse that or something. Anyway, there's a driving force between... Do I have it right? It's the other way around. Okay, whatever. Missionary is a big focus in what we do. And you can hear just from today, having Gavin and Shauna back. Hello. Welcome. We'll hear from them. They don't know it yet, but we will hear from them soon. Dave Remus is off with YWAM to Fiji. We've got a great missions committee. If you have a heart for missions, we're always looking for more people to keep these things focused. We need to do that. We try and have partnerships with people and organizations where it's not just some money and a budget going somewhere. It's relationships. That's really the heart of what we do, to have people come in here and share, to send people wherever that might be. And we're just glad that Michael's with us this morning. So would you welcome him as he comes?
Thank you. Good morning. Wow, it's a blessing to be here, back here again. I was here last year. And you've all grown up a little bit since then. Yes, and me too. And I just am so delighted to bring you greetings from your children in Sagure, Ethiopia, from the staff, the churches there that have been blessed by what you have done over the last 3.5 years. I'll update you a little bit about Sagure, and Loan is helping me with some video program back there and a PowerPoint. And I just returned back about three weeks ago from Sagure, actually. So I have some fresh stories to tell you or things that are happening around Sagure area. But coming back here, it's always good. And I've lived here now almost, it's going to be 29 years, living in Kitchener area, Kitchener-Waterloo area, and Kitchener is my home. And coming back at, you know, my family, friends, and everything, it's really great. Nice home, nice car, survival is on. When I am away, my family watches survival, so I have to join in once in a while. And yesterday I went to Costco's for to buy some dog food because they sell a lot there, and I'm always looking for a deal. And it was so busy that I was telling this lady, you know, she was just pulling out, and I said, you know, I honked, people are coming, and she turned around, she gave me the finger. So it's, yeah. So coming back, it's so many good things. The snow. And I hear that today there is a blue cup or is it a gray cup? So, but we are the most blessed people on earth as far as what God has given us in riches in this country. I mean, for the billions of people around the world, it's hard to imagine. It actually is simply unimaginable the kind of life and comfort that we live here in Canada, here in Kitchener, and the people here, myself, every one of us here together. God has abundantly blessed us. Not just in material riches, which that is simply not an imagine. It's imaginable for the billions of people, but also the freedom that we have. A police doesn't stop you here. If they stop you, they would have to read your right not to say anything. I mean, can you imagine that in some place in Ethiopia or Uganda and South Sudan and Somalia and some of these places? So God has given us so much freedom. And so I really this responsibility has to be lived out. It has to be lived out, particularly for us Christians. It has to be lived out. And we are so much, we have so much to give. And billions of people, as they look to us, particularly to Christians. And so stepping forward is really is a great theme for us to remember. For me, stepping forward is to live out my life with purpose. And people say when you travel, you know, to these different places, must be a lot of sacrifice leaving your family. And I'm gone sometimes for 2 months. And I've shared my story with you, what God has done in my life. I was a street person in Nairobi, Kenya, living day by day, begging, maneuvering, sometimes taking money that didn't belong to me to just live for a day. And God has transformed my life through the blood of Jesus Christ. On August 15, 1981, I shared my testimony with you. And as a result of that, I have so much responsibility because to him, much is given and much is expected. And I feel like what I'm doing around the world or traveling to these places and filling in the gap and doing my share of responsibility, I feel that is my job description. It is my responsibility as a believer, as a Christian, to whom much is given. And so the scripture says, I think in the... Loan, you can start the PowerPoint there. Go and preach the gospel to every nation. And when Christ said that message, go and preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, he meant to those closer to us and to those at the far end of the world. And it's so wonderful to hear this morning that people are coming from Haiti and last week from Tanzania, and more people are going to other places. And this church is truly a missionary church. And so as on behalf of Christian Rises, we're just so delighted to be partners with you. The gospel is to go to broken world, to people where they're searching for meaning. They're living in the darkness, in bondage. And Christ's ministry exemplified that. He walked among the poor. And the miracles that we see recorded weren't about some rich people. It was more about the poor and the broken and the dispossessed. And so Steve Corbett and Brian Fickert, in their book, When Helping Hurts, they write something very significant. Jesus particularly delighted in spending and spreading the good news among the hurting, the weak, and the poor. So it's not surprising that through history, God's people have been commanded to follow the king's footsteps into the places of brokenness. So what's poverty anyway? Let me just talk a little bit about poverty. Who are the poor? They are those that lack the basic necessities of life. The basic water, food, shelter, these basic needs that we take for granted, medicine, vaccine. But it is also more than that. Poverty is about not having voice. Poverty is about living with shame because you can't afford to care for your family. Poverty is a mother taking her little baby wrapped in an old clothes, taking that child, not to bed, but to a shallow grave, and coming back and watching her other child fade away. These are the kind of people and the feeling of hopelessness, low self-esteem, powerlessness, isolation. And someone said, we are like the garbage that everyone wants to get rid of. That's the people that Jesus Christ has died for. The Bible describes the poor as they are even hated by their neighbors. a poor man is separated from his friend. The poor suffer injustice. The poor are ignored. The wisdom of the poor man, this is all in the scripture, in Proverbs and Ecclesiastic. The wisdom of the poor man is despised, and his words are not heeded. And so, When Helping Hurts, this book, which is really a wonderful book for all missionaries and people involved in mission work and who are giving to mission should be reading, When Helping Hurts, makes the case for understanding not only the material, but also the relational aspect of responding to the poor, the psychological, the social, the spiritual needs of the poor. God, our loving God, as we sang today, he cares for the poor. Right from the beginning of Genesis and through Revelation, you would see, literally, someone has said over 2,000 words about justice and poverty in the scripture. It's one of the largest collection of texts in the scripture. And when God chose the nation of Israel and want to mold them as a model nation, he put in commandments for them through Moses and some of the other prophets. And Leviticus, God teaches the Israelites about giving to the poor. When you harvest the ripe crops produced in your land, don't harvest all the way to the corners of your field. Don't gather the ears of grain left by the harvest. Likewise, don't gather the grapes left on the vine of the fallen on the ground after harvest. Leave them for the poor and as a foreigner. I am your Adonai, the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 24:19 has this, a similar passage in the scripture about God speaking to the nation of Israel about looking after the orphans and the widows and the strangers. Right through. But the people of Israel did not listen. When you read Isaiah 58, they went to exile, not because they weren't worshiping, not because they weren't going to the synagogues, not because they weren't praising or praying, but because they failed to look after those that were hurting. They failed. It says in Isaiah 58, you failed to loose the chains of injustice. You failed to clothe the naked. You failed to spend yourself on behalf of the hungry. That was a failure of the people of Israel. Israel disobeyed God. But and God, with his ultimate sacrifice through his son Jesus Christ, has given us this gift of salvation and freedom. And now through the Holy Spirit, he's telling the church, Country Hills Missionary Church, each one of us, myself, to go into the world, to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick, so there will be no needy person in the house of the Lord. That's why John and Val and their kids, Dietrich, Elena, and Peter are going to Ethiopia in July to be that voice, to bring hope through, whether it's teaching English, but teaching English in a biblical context, and to bring the word of God. This mystery of Christ in us through the Holy Spirit calling us to go, and the hope of glory. Through them and through you, the church, he raises the poor from the dust. And through you, the needy from the ash of the ash heap. And Hope House, this ministry, raising the poor from the ash heap. In February 2009, a team from Country Hills, as Jeremy said earlier, went to a place in Ethiopia called Sagore. And you see here these good-looking people in Sagore. And I was there. You see there, I'm just amazed that they were actually there. So I'm looking at what on earth are they doing here. And we went to this community. We visited many places, but we went to Saguri town at one point. A community that have come together with their children, grandparents looking after the orphan children. Community that was dispossessed, children without hope. Some of them holding to the thin thread of life. Grandparents pleading for help. Children where they lacked food. Some of them ragged clothes. Just not only material poverty that people were suffering in that community, but HIV/AIDS was at its peak at that point. And so people were filled with shame, lack of dignity. The government wasn't listening to them. There was lack of voice. But the team, their visit, as I look back now, you often see God working through it. It wasn't a chance, by chance they came. God was responding to the needs of his people through you here, so far away, 10,000 miles away. For the needy, the Bible says in Psalms 9:8, will not always be forgotten by the Lord. And the Bible speaks of the sparrow, about the two sparrows that are less than a penny, that we, his children, are more than the sparrows, and that not to be afraid. So God was responding to those little children through you. So I remember the evening when the team was coming back and they were struggling and trying to find a solution and tears. And just how to respond in the depth of poverty in that community. They came back and they brought the news to you, and you responded with sponsoring 30 beautiful children. There they are. And I remember this. I don't think we have ever done in CH Global projects like this where this many children a church took up one time. So far, I haven't seen. And so this picture is just so much of a hope for me to continue to do what we're doing. And so he responded. And not only through child sponsorship to provide basic care and supplementary nutrition for these children, but also to do prevention program for people who are suffering from HIV/AIDS. And to also provide some microeconomic development program through this. And so the program was launched. This was the picture that we took at that point. The program was launched, and Hope House began to provide nutrition program. And at the peak of it, not only the 30 children, we added more children, about 45 children were coming to get the weekend program. And so, Loan, do we have a video here? And so,
my God is so big, so strong and so mighty.
These are your children.
There's nothing my God cannot do for you. The family of the God is a the stars are my God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you.
And they kid. Yeah, there we have it. You get a little bit closer. And then there is their meal program. You want to see that every weekend for 2 days. They come in for supplementary nutrition program. They eat like they are eating for a whole week in those 2 days.
They said, let's eat. They're asking me to share with them.
So they want us to share their food? Like in there?
No, with them.
And here is the picture of 4 kids in the different years. You know who you sponsored in here. Freyot, Alifa, and I've talked about them last time or previous time when I came in. And they've been growing now. And then the next picture, as you can see, they're Sentayo and Ngdayo. They're continuing from a little infant to now a grown-up, a 4-year-old child. And so the children are growing physically and spiritually. They're getting tutorial programs. They're coming together. These are, a majority of them are HIV-positive kids. And I have not seen, and I go every time I go, at least I go there every other week to Sagure. It's only a few minutes now from Masala, and things have improved significantly since 3 years ago. And so I visit them particularly on Saturday and Sunday during their meal programs. And these kids have no symptoms of the HIV virus. They're healthy. The virus is still there, but they're healthy, and they're not on medication. And their parents, their caregivers, are in microloan program, and they're starting to show the sign that hope has come for them. And so it's so encouraging. And here is the children supported in 2011, and they're starting to look better, and their faces are full. And then we have another picture. Do we have another picture, Luan? Yeah. And the families are beginning to. About 25 of the caregivers, some of them are older grandmothers who are looking after these kids. They enrolled into a microloan program and borrowing money, $50. Then they return that back and they get $100, and they return that back, $150, and so forth. They started to get all kinds of different businesses. And then the presence of Hope House also helped us to strengthen other programs in the area. And so in partnership with the Bible League of Canada, we began a school program in Sagure area that continued to expand. And so there was a number of programs. You see here the president of the Bible League of Canada, Dr. Paul Richardson, and Bible Formation Casey, the executive director, they were there. And in one of the schools in Liubo, the community, in cooperation with CH Ethiopia, built in this water for the school, a school where there are 600 children. And there was no school 4 years ago in that community. There was not school. And 600 children. And here is the water that they are turning on the tap for the first time. And you see children. And at this time, there are about 4,000 students in the school in and around Sagure that are supported through the Ministry of Christian Horizons Ethiopia. And all because hope has begun to start to come to Sagure. And not only that, we have several other programs, a technical program that we're supporting there. And most importantly, planting churches in those areas. We have 10 church planters that are working in the Sagure area. There are about 190,000 people. Sagure itself is about 20,000, but the whole district of Sagure has about 190,000. And our prayer is that every single one of them would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that ministry is going on very strongly, and people are getting Bibles in their own language, in the Oromo language. God has abundantly blessed us. We have been praying for Bibles for the Oromo people. We've been praying for the last 2 years that out of 7 million Oromo believers in the region where we are working, only 1 or 2% have Bibles in the Oromo language. Only 1 or 2%. We have a sea of people in a church, and you ask them to raise your hand if you have a Bible. You'll see one over there, maybe one over there, maybe another one over there. So we've been praying for this. And with the partnership of the Bible League of Canada and a group out of the United States who helped us, this year in August, we were able to import 60,000 Bibles into Ethiopia. I say, praise God. The living word of God has finally come in the form of the Bible to the Oromo people. And then never has there been so much Bible imported into Ethiopia in the Oromo language, ever. And so we are so grateful. And so the Sagore is one of those groups that has gotten a significant amount of Bibles. So many people, as you can see, came to visit and see, and Hope House has become a place where people come from different, they visit a program. It's a place of a blessing. It's a place of a blessing. You see these kids happy and engaged, and so the community is welcoming. This is a community that is not keen to Christianity, but the doors have now opened. The doors are now open. So the Hope House was initiated as a 3 years project with your church and your church partnership. And so this year, early this year, a number of the children that were sponsored as a group sponsorship was down. It went down but many of you picked up individually those children. And so today I am pleased to tell you that 20 children are still sponsored by you from this church to continue over a long term. And then another 8 of them were sponsored by other people that we promoted in other areas by Canadians. And so 28 of the 30 children are still sponsored. There's only 2 children are without a sponsorship right now, so I give you opportunity. You can. I'm not auctioning them, but it's so good to know that these children, their future is being cared for. Even if the program stopped completely, the people of Sagore, this is what they would say if they were here: what you have done will live on in our hearts forever. They will say, we'll remember the compassion of Christians from Canada who reached out to us when we were in our most need. And Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name in having ministered and still ministering to the saints. So Hope House... the nutrition program came to an end about on October 7 this year. And it came to an end because the program has now reached what it should do from a nutrition program perspective. The children are strong and they're ready to move on. And so we have closed the nutrition program. When there is a beginning, there is an end. And this is not a relief program that we want to continue over the long term. We want the community to stand on its own. And that was the agreement at the beginning with the community as well. And so when it was time to say goodbye, of course, people were, the kids were, you know, weeping, and the staff were tears in their eyes, and because they have been caring for them, or bathing them, or washing them, and bringing them to a place that there is hope and purpose in the lives of the children. But we said that with the community, that they need now to stand on their feet. We need to look for a different way of supporting them. Sagore has changed very much. When we started in 2009, the roads were like you see on the top. And today, there is asphalt. And so it takes only about 20 minutes from Asala, a trip that used to take us 2 hours to get to Sagore. And there are new buildings happening. And the community is pumped for economic development and transformation. So we need to walk with the community. And so we have been doing the microloan program for a while, as you know, as I said, 25 people from the caregivers were on the program. Loan is just catching up with what we're going to do in July, when John and Val are going to be there. We're going to have a one-week summer camp for all the children of Hope House. Yes, yes, and with their language skills, and kids only speak Amharic and Oromo, this is going to be a fun time. You know, just I really sincerely want to invite as many of you as you can, if you are able, to come and join them for that time. Maybe this is a challenge where maybe for that one person who always wanted to go to Africa but just didn't have a reason to go. And Ethiopian Airlines now flies directly from Addis Ababa, from Toronto, straight to Addis Ababa. Straight, one, no stop to get you there. And we'll pick you up, go to Sagure, have a week, and visit Ethiopia a little bit. Maybe Jeremy, you know. And then, and it will bring you right back with just a stop of 45 minutes in Rome. That's it. And so it makes it so easy, and the price has dropped down to almost half now, right now. So there is a little promotion for Sagore. And it's going to be a fun time. But what are we going to do? What's the future for Hope House and Sagore community? We want to work with the community in their economic transformation. I think one of the critical ways to help people in poverty is through creating jobs. It's creating economic opportunities. And the poor, really, they desire to use their resourcefulness. They want to use their capacity, their God-given capacity, to make a living for themselves. And that's the desire of every human being everywhere. And for the most of us, that's what we do. And so it's the same for people in Sagore. If they have the income, their kids will grow to be teachers and drivers and preachers and nurses and so forth. And they will raise their kids. But it is lack of income that is holding people back. And particularly now there is education. People can send their kids to education. They can buy the medicine. This concept is not new. We've been doing it since we started the program with some of the families who are in the microloan program. And people were paying their interest, and we're doing it with interest rate that is justifiable, that's morally justifiable, so they know that they learn. And they have started bakery, small shops, fattening, and different things like that. And but the government changed the rule that international non-government organization cannot lend money within Ethiopia. They're considered as foreign banks. And so they changed the rules on us. So we go, okay, what do we do now to help people? And so we went back to the experts, the poor themselves, and we said, we can't give loans, so what do we do? And so we met with beneficiaries, we met with pastors, and we met with government leaders. And the people came back with a solution. We want to establish our own self-help group. And that self-help group is simply a group of people, mostly tend to be women, coming together on a weekly basis for some education and training on businesses and social and religious issues. But they also come in with a small amount of saving every day they come, every week they come. They come with a small amount to deposit in their bank, in their bank. They call it their bank, whether it's somebody is collecting it, but it is their own. So generally about 20 people with a group, but they come. And some of them are on Thursdays, some of them on Fridays, some of them on Saturdays, whatever works out for them. So this self-help group is the best model, and you've heard this in India and some of these other countries, Bangladesh, that has broken the cycle of poverty for people and to becoming, and also building their self-worth and so forth. So through this program, we want to support them through this program. And in fact, Christian Horizons Ethiopia put in a a proposal together with the government to get a license for self to establish self-help groups, and we've been given a 3 years license to provide self-help group for 17,000 people in the Oromo region. And so 200 of these people are in the Sagore town itself, and all of the members in the from Hope House, the caregivers, will be incorporated into that. So there will be about 10 groups of about 20 each, about 200. And what we wanted to do is to give them motivate them. We have pledged that every community where we have established this will put in a pledge of $10,000 if they raise $10,000. So we have allocated for four communities $40,000. And that would be the first communities that will get that. From then on, everyone will continue to do. And because of this initiative that we're putting, this is a grant, it's not a loan, that the communities have already organized, they're putting their money in, and just the competition is going really, really rapidly. And Sagore and Robe, there are two communities that we think are going to be getting the 10,000 each. And so that program is going. And if you look at 200 people with an average of four people per household or five people, this is going to support 800 to 1,000 people in a community. And that's what the gift that you put in today and that you're going to put in through this Christmas for the Hope House is going to go towards this project. It's a highly monitored by both by the government and our employees who provide the teaching, who provide the counseling of businesses, and they also provide a spiritual nurturance to the people that they come in on a weekly basis. It's sort of like a biblical transforming Bible study group which with economic transformation twist to it. So that's what we're going to be doing. And as you consider your Christmas giving to CH Global, I want you to consider this initiative. And it's also my sincere prayer that through this Christmas season to pray for Sagore and the people of Sagore, and that our staff will boldly continue to declare the gospel in that area. It's a very difficult area where the gospel has not penetrated deep, and there are difficulties associated with preaching the gospel in that area. And so continue to pray for that. And pray for John and Val. They're looking at going to Ethiopia for 2 months to teach conversational English in a biblical context. And then over to Uganda with their kids. And we're just excited about them coming. And I will continue to pray for you that your church will continue to step forward with purpose. Yeah. For a Christ-centered work. And that you'll be a church that will live out the gospel in words and in deeds. And I thank you very much for having me today again. And I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. I want to also show you a very short video of the work of Christian Horizons in Ethiopia for a few minutes. Thank you and God bless you.